we need to social distance. And we said, well, we do that anyway. So it's like we're socially distant anyway.
It's but, like the joke about, you know, the joke about artists. It's like, well, hang on a minute. So I have to not see anybody and find something to do all on my own to keep me busy. That's
not
kind
a problem.
So I think the point of this is a little bit of normality.
Because I'm so sick of hearing about it.
You're sick of hearing about what? What are you sick of hearing about?
Well, I think there might be some kind of a virus going around, but I'm not sure I've got the whole story.
God. I don't think any of us have got the whole story. I think that's part of the problem, isn't it, really? That's where the unsettled feeling comes from.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you? It's funny, actually. I was going to say, I've just asked how are you and then started talking, like I don't care how you are. So how are you, Alice?
I'm fine, apart from I was up until 2:30 again. I wasn't kind of news browsing online, but somebody, a friend said, you know, how do you meal plan? I normally just shop 2 days at a time. So I was like, well, you can do this and then you can have a chicken. And then from the chicken carcass, you could do this and this and this. And she just met when I woke up this morning, she messaged back, can't sleep, because she's on a different time zone. You can see her thinking, what the hell is she doing replying to this? You should be in bed, woman. It's like, yes, I probably should. But actually, I feel okay today.
So since we should quickly say that this is obviously a bonus episode, which has come out not on our regular schedule, but we decided to do this because it just feels really weird if next Tuesday you get an episode, a regular episode, where we're just chatting away and acting as if nothing's different in the world. And so we decided to record this quick bonus episode just to kind of share our thoughts on what's happening, and not that our thoughts are any more valuable than anyone else's, but then it won't be so weird when we go back to our normal schedule next week. Because as I was just saying before we started recording this, I really wouldn't care if I never heard that word ever again. Because what I find is I'm okay and my life is perfectly normal until I turn on the news, until I open. Usually my routine is to listen to Chris Evans in the morning on Alexa and read The Guardian online while I eat my breakfast. And even Chris Evans this morning was just nonstop. I mean, he was kind of saying, don't panic, everybody, everything's fine. But that's still talking about it.
Yeah.
The Guardian front page, I mean, it's just glaring red flashing lights and headlines. And so I just turned it off and listened to music this morning while I was having my breakfast and tidying up.
I think that's a good idea, actually. I mean, I don't know. We do still need to know a little bit what's happening. And I've got children at school and it's changing, you know, on an hourly basis. You know, first of all, it was going to be schools closed this day, then this day. Now it's today. My husband's 200 miles away with the car. We've got to go and pick a child up that we don't. You know, it's so you've got to listen to be on top of it. But it's just really difficult because everybody's working in the dark, really. You know, even the people who actually know a great deal more about it than we are, they're still figuring out what's going on. And it's a bit of a blind spot, partly because they're not doing a great amount of testing at the moment. But
no, not here anyway. I think some countries are doing a lot better than we are.
Yeah.
I know Australia seems to be doing well from everything I read and seems to have things in place. But America, I know, is not doing well. And, you know, we are not, I don't even know what we're doing because it seems to change every half an hour. They say we're not testing anyone. Then they say we might test healthcare people. We live very different lives because you live in a very built up area and I live in a very rural area. And one of our neighbors said yesterday to myself and my husband, oh, we need to social distance. And we said, well, we do that anyway. So it's like we're socially distant anyway.
It's but, like the joke about, you know, the joke about artists. It's like, well, hang on a minute. So I have to not see anybody and find something to do all on my own to keep me busy. That's
not a problem. Well, I mean, our neighbours, the people we were talking to, are very social people. There's always a stream of cars coming and going from their house. They're hardly ever here on the weekend because they're at some friend's house. Whereas that's just not our life. It never has been. We will, both myself and my husband are really introverted, and we'll go out occasionally with a couple of friends, or I'll go out for a drink with one of my friends, or he'll go to a concert, but it's fairly rare.
Yeah.
And so, and besides seeing our close friends next door, we just don't see anybody if we don't want to. We could quite easily, and we both work from home. We don't have any children, so all this school thing doesn't affect us. So it is, we're in a bit of a weird situation where, and we're in businesses that are online. So while I do believe we'll be affected if the economy really struggles, I think everyone will be affected. But we don't have the same sense of worry and anxiety that other people must have. For example, I went to the lady who does my feet, because I have ingrowing toenail. Everybody wanted to know that. You're welcome, everybody. And I went to her because I thought, if she shuts down, you know, I'll have to get it done now. And she nearly cried when I went in. She said, thank you so much for coming, because they'd done a little Instagram thing saying, we're open and we're taking extra precautions and we're both healthy, her and her husband. But she said, no one's coming. And, I'm laying awake wondering how I'm going to pay the mortgage. That's what I really feel for. That's what I've stayed up worrying about.
I know. I mean, my cleaning lady's here today and she was in tears because she says everybody's cancelling. She says, this is my only source of income. My son lost his job 3 weeks ago. My husband's a builder. That's all shutting down. She said, it's all very well to say there's mortgage payments. She says, I pay rent, council rent. Nobody's told me that that's going to stop.
Yeah. And you like that. And when they say a mortgage holiday, it's not a mortgage, oh, never mind, we'll forget about it, is it?
No.
It's not going to solve people's problems when their business has disappeared for all that time, or their job. So that has been keeping me up, because obviously that knocks on to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand,
I'm seeing the knock-on effects already. You know, not just from the art fair, but, you know, but I think a lot of that is kind of inevitable fear about what the mid to long term is. And what I'm seeing and what I feel is that it's almost like we've almost like got this split mind capacity. And I feel it. I feel like I vary from I don't feel, what's the problem here? Because obviously I can see what the problem is. But I do feel like there are a lot of things that kind of could continue safely, managed, sensibly, cautiously, without it actually being a huge problem. If we all have this freak panic reaction to it, that's what's going to cause real huge repercussions.
Yeah.
You know, on an individual basis, your chance of getting this and actually suffering from it is still minuscule. I mean, it really is. It really is. If you actually look at this, and I'm not a statistician, but I love looking. I mean, you know, and I think you have to be careful where you're getting your information from, but found this website and it's got all the sources in different cases, all the World Health Organization reports, the number of people who've recovered from it, the percentage likelihood if you're going to suffer from it if you're a man versus a woman, you know, and it's so skewed towards the older age groups. Those are the people who we need to look after. That's what we're trying to do with all of this. But I think the knock-on effects from everybody in the middle age group, young age group, I'm worried about, you know, all the 18-year-olds, people in new jobs, you know, the fact that life is stopping. But hopefully it will be a short-term adjustment.
I think this is what governments have been having to juggle, and I really wouldn't want to be even though I criticize what's happening, I really wouldn't want to be in the position of trying to decide these things, because I think their initial reaction, at least in this country, it seemed to me was, let's just try and keep going because otherwise the economic impact will be so horrible. However, the proven way to eliminate this virus appears to be to isolate everybody for a period of time, mm-hmm. so there's nowhere for it to live, and then mm-hmm. and then carry on. And that seems to be happening now in parts of China. So, but that you can do that in China, where you can just they can just say,
tell everyone,
everybody don't move. And also where they have, let's face it, a booming economy and pots of money and resources that we don't have in the UK or in the US anymore. I know when I lived in the US, people tend to believe it's like the world's greatest economy, but it isn't. China and India are, and you know, well, I'm not an economist, so I don't know which of those is the biggest, but they're thriving and they can afford to shut down parts of their economy without it being like it is in the UK. So I think that's the thing that is so hard, because if you just shut everybody down and everybody stayed at home for a month, presumably this would have to go away.
Yeah, you'd think
it would have to die. There's nowhere for it to live. But I did hear a very good podcast that was explaining that there's some ratio, and I've forgotten the statistics, but there's a ratio where this becomes manageable from a healthcare perspective. And that's what governments are trying to do, is to bring the curve down so that it's manageable, so there's enough beds for the elderly people who do get really sick. Or young people with health issues.
And I think the difficult thing is that actually, in order to get people to change their habits and behaviour, which you might not have seen it, living in London, I only have to look outside my window to see there is nobody walking up and down the street. Yeah. You know, I was out walking the dog again. There are no cars on the road. There's like one car every 5 minutes, where there's normally kind of, you know, traffic, you know, there's normally people out doing things, all of that kind of stuff. So it is, in that sense, it's incredible how quickly people's behavior has actually changed. And, you know, maybe some of that is because, you know, we have to be a little bit scared in order to change what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fascinating in terms of social behavior response and things like that, and you just kind of have to hope that it will work itself out. But I think what I want to talk about is how we're all in the same boat with having these kind of ups and downs. And I certainly feel that I had a day on, what's the day today? I don't even know what the day is today. It's Thursday, isn't it? I had a day on Tuesday where I felt great. I went to the studio. I did something practical. I burst into tears at an inopportune moment in a business meeting. then I ended up the day feeling good again. And I think somebody said, gosh, you know, you've had a busy day. And actually, it felt for me like it was quite a chilled day, like quite a calm day. But yet, it was the most enormous up and down roller coaster within one waking period, which is quite tiring.
Yeah.
But what I'm feeling is I'm just noticing, like you, that when I switch on the news, a small amount of it, I want to hear what's happening. If I keep it on too long, it starts to get to the point where that part of my brain just goes, this is going to be disastrous. How are we ever going to recover from this? Think of all these knock-on effects. And then I don't have the answers for it. Yeah. So the almost inevitable solution for that is, this is the end of the world.
Yes.
This is the end of the world as we know. And the last time I felt that, well, you and I were talking the other day, you were in New York, and the last time, and I was pregnant with Theo, standing in a shot in a department store watching the Twin Towers come down. And I remember that it was that feeling, but in an instant of, this is going to be a world-changing thing. And it was, and it wasn't.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that after we talked about it. So the day itself, everyone remembers the day itself. What I particularly remember is the next morning I went back into work and felt like, oh, the world's, you know, might end. But the following weekend, and I can't remember what day of the week that was, but the following weekend we both went into Manhattan, and we didn't live in the middle of Manhattan. We went into Manhattan, into Central Park. We went for a walk. It was a beautiful day. People were out in the park and people were being really nice to each other, like more friendly than normally they are in a big city. And it just had this real feeling of like human resilience. Like I just felt really good when we came home. Like it's okay. Now that's a very different thing because it was finite. It happened. It was done. We realized by then it was done. And everybody could move on, whereas this is more of a who knows when it's done and who knows how long this will carry on. But
yeah, although I think there was still that sense of not knowing what the repercussions were going to be, what kind of world are we moving into. I think those feelings were there. But I think you're right. It's interesting that the way that people deal with it, which is what we're going to have to do now in a different way, is by relooking at the way that we communicate with each other, what we do, what makes us feel good, and those are the things. And those are the things that are true. You know, if you look back to wartime UK, those things happen. People find new ways of doing things. And I suppose my point is that people actually, even within the last few days, people are settling into new systems. They're starting to see new ways of doing things. They're thinking, you know, I'm going to have to figure out a new way of doing this. And actually, it's fascinating how quickly things can turn and sometimes feel normal. We've got to have some bits that feel normal. We have to.
I just wish people would stop keeping pasta in their basements, because I just like one packet of dried pasta. It's like not too much to ask, is it?
No, it's not really. But equally, you know, people lived on plenty of other different food before we had pasta.
This is true. And yes, this is true. And it's supposed to be good not to eat carbohydrates, so maybe it'll all end up being a good thing. I had this moment. I had this really stressed out day when I rang you. I think that was Wednesday when it suddenly all hit me and I started to get worried about everybody and everything. And
yeah.
I took Riley out for a walk. And the funny thing here is there's far fewer cars out here too. There's no traffic. It's amazing, even in places where there normally is traffic. But you see a lot more people out dog walking because they're not at work. And so I'm meeting more people in the fields than I was doing before. But I took Riley out and I go in this particular field and I go in this part of the field you're not supposed to go in because it's not on the footpath. But there's a lovely beck and it's like down a ravine. And I just sat down on the edge of that ravine and watched the water. And I thought of this thing that Byron Katie always says, who I talk about a lot because I watch her a lot on YouTube. And she always says, when you take all the thoughts away, what's left? And
I thought, that's a good one.
What's left is a woman sitting on the grass, watching the water, perfectly healthy, with food in the fridge, and, you know, people who love me and people I love. That's what's left. And when we catastrophize, which I tend to do when these things happen, what we're doing is experiencing the bad thing over and over and over and over again before it's even happened. And our bodies don't know the difference, apparently, between what's real and what's imagined. They still react with the same stress hormones.
Particularly when it's being reported on the news as
constantly
kind of future current reality. I think that's the difficult thing.
I think, though, for me, I just thought all I can do in this situation for myself is just live in the moment, which is a cliche, but just do that. Just experience what's happening now. Try and look after the people I have to look after. And then whatever's going to happen is going to happen, whether I'm panicking or not. And probably it won't be as bad as we imagine.
Yeah.
But even if it is, somebody was telling me about the Spanish flu and I was looking that up, and that killed
different
hundreds of thousands of people were killed with that because there wasn't the kind of healthcare that we have now. There wasn't the kind of cleanliness. There wasn't the kind of knowledge. And even so, the world went on and everyone, you know, people carried on. So even in something that is 100 times worse than we're going to experience in the worst case scenario, everybody carried on and the economy boomed after that. Now, we did need a Second World War for that to happen, but we won't talk about that.
I thought you were going to say that you said to me the other day that you said to me the other day, we got the giggles about eating a chocolate biscuit.
Yes, that's the other thing. So then you just throw caution to the wind and you just think.
Oh, that was it. Throw caution to the wind. Have a chocolate biscuit. I was like really pushing the boat out here.
Forget the diet. Forget the clean eating. Although I'm rationing my food now. I'm trying to be more cautious. I mean, this is something that I seriously have been thinking about. I do waste food. I waste food because I'm not organized.
Yeah.
I don't mean I just fling it around for no reason, but my husband tends to buy too much if he goes shopping. He buys too much and then they go off. And I was listening to you on the phone to your husband saying about the potatoes in plastic bags get sweaty. Yeah. And I never take mine out of the plastic bag. And then sometimes they get sweaty or grow sprouts or whatever, and I throw them away. I throw away too much food.
You don't need to throw away sprouting potatoes. You just peel the sprouty bits off.
Well, it depends how sprouty, because when it's gone soft as well. Okay. And when it's like, you know, growing a big tuber out of the side.
When it's basically a potato tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. I know you do meal planning and organize a lot better than I do. And it's made me think about that. So when I say rationing food, I'm not rationing food, but I am being more carefully thinking through. And I think that's a good change. If that happens.
I think it's going to be it's amazing. Like I'm having conversations with my she said, and there was something, and I just said, well, you know, you just might have to get used to a little while of just not having exactly what you want when you want it.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
you know,
well, that's quite hard though, isn't it? Because we're used to,
we are, but you know, it hasn't always been that way.
No. I mean, I remember in college living on Findus crispy pancakes because it's all we could afford if we wanted to also buy beer and cigarettes, which we did.
Yeah, exactly.
So baked beans and horrible Findus crispy pancakes, if anyone remembers those. I got
baked. Okay. So what is, apart from the odd chocolate biscuit, what's going to be your tactic or your approach to feeling good and keeping going through this, or adjusting? What are you going to adjust, or let's just do a quick ping pong of things that make you feel good.
Well, I'm definitely adjusting my media habits. I have no need to know what's going on, so I'm not listening. Somebody will tell me when we can go outside again. I'm not interested because I don't have kids or anything. I'll talk to my mum. I'll look after my mum and that's it. So I'm not watching the news. The other thing I'm thinking about, I started this membership site, a month ago? And now I'm so grateful that I did. And initially when I started it, it's fairly low cost and it was going to be not too much. I wasn't going to be doing too much. It was more of a community thing and I was just going to do something every month. But I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I'm going to really do a lot in that. I'm going to, not me doing a lot, but I'm going to give creative prompts. I'm going to be much more present in the community than I had planned to be. That makes me feel good.
Yep.
And I know this isn't the same for other people, but painting makes me feel good. Working makes me feel good. And I've got boards and I've got paint, so I'm going to spend more time on that. I think that's my plan.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, my plan is something physically productive every day, you know, on the grounds of something that feels normal, probably a little bit domestic, probably a little bit nurturing. So I've had a sort out of one cupboard, baked banana bread yesterday, which haven't found time to do that recently. So that was really nice. Your kitchen drawer is going to get it. You know, that kitchen drawer that's stuffed full of stuff that hasn't been looked at in donkey's years, at some point I'm going to do that and that's going to feel really good. And just finding like little things that you enjoy. I am actually looking forward to having a bit more time to spend together as a family. We're gonna talk about these meals. People are going to have to take turns cooking them. We're going to have a little bit of a schedule that my daughter said something about, yeah, and we can all just get our own lunches. And I said, no. We're all going to sit down together at lunchtime in the middle of the day. Apart from anything else, you know, we'll manage the food a little bit better if we're doing that and all eating the same thing. So I think it will actually be quite interesting to see what we do reset and think about. I mean, you know, some of the things that I had plan for the business, obviously people who've got shows or events and things have been cancelled or postponed at the moment, but that I really don't think that will be forever, and I think there will be a bounce back from this.
Yes.
You know, it will. And I think actually what feels odd at the moment to me is to do anything that's particularly, you know, anything that's selling-y at the moment. And yet in the last 4 or 5 days, I have purchased things. I have purchased things that I like, things that feel necessary to me. You know, if all of that just kind of shut down shop, there's going to be a kind of responsibility on all of us. I mean, economics works as a circular thing. It's got to keep going round. So I think there's a little bit of a normality, a little bit of making sure that you're giving yourself a treat, having a bit of structure in your day. I think the old practice of finding a silver lining, and that doesn't mean to say that you're going to feel like bubbly, happily optimistic every minute of the day, but I think just catching when your thoughts go off course.
Yeah. And
just bringing it back to actually the reality of what you see. So like when you say, you know, take all your thoughts out of it, what is the reality of this situation is that I'm in a house with my family and we've got time to do some of the things that we don't normally have to do. Have you seen the video of what's happened to Venice?
No.
Look on the BBC website. There's a video of Venice from, it's a resident there. And, you know, Venice was really struggling with pollution, massive over-tourism, cruise ships crammed full. Now it hasn't had, in really, again, quite a short space of time, everything is calm, the waters are clearer, pollution levels are lower, they can see fish again in the canals.
They said on the news today that the pollution levels in the air have dramatically dropped with everybody not driving to work.
Yeah, and fewer aeroplanes.
Yeah. So we can already see positive effects. I mean, one of the things I heard, which I thought was really good, was Nicholas Wilton in his free group talking about thinking what you want this time to give you. Yeah. And I really found that very valuable because I know in the worst times of my life, I haven't always done that. I haven't always thought, what can this give me? And it's very easy for us to think of all the negatives. But as you were just saying, more time with family, I know I'm not minimizing anybody's concern if they're really, you know, financially struggling now. But there is that you have to find positive ways to think about things, I think. Otherwise, we make ourselves ill. And so
but the financial struggle, again, just coming back to this and the way that we think about things, because I think this is really important. The financial struggle is a foreseen worry about the future.
Yeah.
Which on the one hand, you know, has a layer of sensibility to it, obviously. But also the reality is, has your financial situation really dramatically changed that much in the last week? Okay, I've had there was an event that should have been a nice cash injection for me. Didn't happen. You know, it was a cash sink. You know, I lost money doing that. And that's a tough pill to swallow. But in the long in the long term, does that mean I really need to start panicking about everything that may or may not happen in 6 months' time? I don't think it does. And I think the biggest harm that we can do ourselves in all of this is to let that panic and that worry and that fear take over. Notwithstanding the fact that if you do that, actually, you know, your own immune system is going to be lowered.
Exactly.
Well, you know, your anxiety and worry about this is going to seriously affect your ability to cope with it. That's the most important reason not to panic and worry about it.
Yeah. And so my what's changed, so I was going to have open studios this summer and that's been cancelled. Who knows if the Manchester Art Fair will happen. So what I want to do with this time is take that opportunity where I don't have to worry about selling anything to anybody, showing anything to anybody. Nobody's going to be coming to look at anything. So I'm okay financially at the moment. So I can take this time to paint just for myself, experiment just for myself. And we say that a lot, but we don't always really mean it because we've got events coming up in the future that we're aware that we have to get stuff ready for. And I have a feeling that if we all do that, we'll come up with, well, we'll get better because we'll be dedicating more time to it and we'll come up with more interesting work. And when this does all calm down and we do go back to normal, we'll all have much more interesting work. And even if people don't feel like doing that right now because they feel unsettled, they will, because like you said, we adjust and we adapt and we're not going to stay in this state of,
Yeah, I think there's just a pause time, isn't there? There's a pause at the moment where it's just kind of, you know, let's just wait for the dust to settle, see where it goes. But, you know, us humans as creative beings, I'm sure we've spoken about this before, like being inherently inventive and creative, that's not going to go away. That's not going to change. And, you know, people have always created and made things and shared it with others. And I think we're going to see a really interesting explosion of the way that people communicate with each other. And it might mean that we just have to be adaptable in terms of what that looks like and what feels right to do. I don't know what the answer is on that yet, but I'm pretty 100% certain that the answer is not to shut everything down and go into complete hunker mode, because, well, I know personally I can't function very well like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for everybody it'll be different. So, and I think we have a tendency to beat ourselves up. So if you feel like going and painting when, and then you think, oh, this is selfish when everything's going wrong in the world, don't beat yourself up. And if you feel like, oh, I don't want to paint, what's wrong with me, don't beat yourself up. Like, I think everyone just has to be kind to themselves and do whatever feels good, as well as taking care of the people we have to take care of. Like, if I could get some brown wholemeal flour for my mother, she would be so happy. But as of yet, I have struck out because she's worried she won't be able to. We won't have any bread because they're making us stay inside, because I think all the over 70s have to stay inside as of next week. And she makes her own bread and she can't get flour. And so, but she might have to eat, you know, Hovis for a few months. She just might have to.
My dad makes his own bread. I did ask him earlier in the week, I said, have you stopped going to the gym, Dad? And he said, no, it's brilliant. There's nobody else there. He's like, I go in, I wash my hands, I get on the running machine, I wash my hands, I come home. I love it.
But yeah, I think the gym. That's impressive.
It is. Yeah.
My mum lives out in the middle of nowhere and they go for long walks and they can still do that no matter what happens, because they don't, you know, they won't see other people. Have we sorted anything out, do you think?
Oh, no, we haven't. I don't think we can. I mean, I think we were talking about this. We just said it's just going to be really weird if we just have a really big pause. And then if we record something today, which is normally our podcast recording day on Thursday, and it goes out on Tuesday, who knows what could have happened by then. Things are going to change. But then we thought that actually part of what we do here is just, I don't know, just bringing a little bit. Normally it's bringing a little bit of normality into the art making process, isn't it? And what we do.
Yeah.
A little bit of, you know. Oh, it is what it is. Shrug your shoulders. We do what we can. We move on. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I think it's going to be more important than ever. And I agree with you. I'm thinking of other ways I can do. I'm not racing headlong into, you know, here's a free online offering or a course, because, you know, I don't have the capacity to do that. You know, I want to do a little bit of, you know, checking that the family's okay and that kind of thing as well. But I am well up for online chit-chat communications, and I think that's what we're going to be doing in my membership as well. We're going to be, you know, ramping that up a little bit, just so that people have a place where they can kind of come and share. And I hope actually everybody has that. You know, we all have that available to us now, unless the internet goes down. That's a whole other thing.
Oh God.
Then we'll be back with books and a stick of charcoal. Which actually I wouldn't even mind for at least a week.
Even if the internet, you see, this is the thing about what we do though. Even if the internet went down, and God forbid, please don't strike the internet down now. But we at least would still have stuff to do. We would always have stuff to do.
Yeah.
So we've got...
Notwithstanding the decorating and the cupboard cleaning and the sorting out your wardrobe and the... I mean, everybody's houses are going to look fantastic at the end of this, because we're going to have all this time to kind of...
I said that about gardens. I was like, can you imagine British gardens this year? They're just going to be stunning. I had no time in my garden last year. This year, I'm going to really just make it look amazing.
We're all going to learn to cook. I'll tell you what did make me laugh the other day, though, but I thought it really only applied to a certain generation. It was a little picture that was going around. It was like what everybody's going to look like after 3 weeks of quarantine. And there was a woman with really ungroomed eyebrows, and her roots had grown out, and she had her fake stick-on nails that had grown out, and her fake eyelashes that had all gone wiggly and spidery. And I thought... Yeah, none of that really affects me.
No, you know what? This is ridiculous. My biggest worry, I'm going for a haircut tomorrow, even though I don't need one, because I don't know when they're going to shut, but I'm pretty sure they're going to shut soon. And I have, because you, when you have short hair, when it gets long, it really looks bad. It's all right if you have long hair and it just gets a bit longer and you can cut your own fringe or whatever. But when it's short, so I'm going to look terrible. So in
you're
a few...
Look like- You're going to look like Stig of the Dump.
I'm going to have to learn to cut my own hair. My mum used to cut it when I was little. She could cut it for me again.
I can cut the kids' hair. You have to get Phil to do it.
Oh, God.
Okay, so here's a good test of your marriage. Would you trust your husband with a pair of scissors anywhere near your hair?
No. Absolutely not. No. But besides anything else, he's handshakes, so I don't know.
Would he trust you near his hair?
I don't think he would, actually. He should, because all men's hair's easy, isn't it? They shave it on the back. And he should. But do you remember when we were little, maybe this, you might be too young for this, they started to sell this comb which also cut your hair. It was metal, and it was by Ronco. And they advertised it on TV, and my mum would comb my hair with this metal thing, and it ripped the hair out. I'm sure that's what it must have done. Do you remember those?
I don't remember that, but we do have a pair of scissors. I mean, because this is going to make you laugh, because as well as covering sofas, I do have hairdressing stuff, partly because...
Do you?
I do.
I can't come to your house though and get my hair cut.
Partly because when Theo was little, it was really hard to get him to sit still for a haircut. The only way I could do it was to get him in front of the TV and give him a little pot with Smarties in and tell him, right, now eat all the, you know, pick the red ones. He'd have to pick the red ones out. And that was the only way I could get his head to stay still so that I could cut his hair. And then it got into when he wanted more unusual haircuts as a teenager. You know, he couldn't describe them to a hairdresser, so I did it. But they have thinning scissors, which are, instead of having two straight blades, one of them is like a comby thing, so that when you cut...
It cuts. That it must cuts. Be what it did.
Yeah, partially. But it does, I think if you kind of... The other thing, that when they do those razor cuts and it feels like they're kind of dragging all the hair out of your head, do you have that?
No.
Don't have that?
No, well, that's not have that. Well, maybe.
Anyway.
I bet if I go to look for these thinning scissors, they've been panic bought, and I bet there isn't any.
Oh, apparently you can't buy thermometers.
No, well, somebody near me, her freezer broke. She went off to Currys to buy a freezer, innocently thinking she can't buy freezers anymore, they're all gone. And they have not got a freezer. And I'm really worried about mine because it's a bit on the blink. So I'm just like, fingers crossed it's going to hang in there because it's jam-packed now with my emergency rations.
Look, what can you do? You know, you're going to have these moments where you worry. You've got to have moments where you have a laugh about it. You have to.
Yeah.
And then you ultimately you have to trust that, you know, things will work out, really. Yeah. You know,
at the end of it all, what you said really is true. This whole quarantining is to try and keep the healthcare system from being overwhelmed. Mm. It's not because this is the Black Death. It's not because if we go outside, we're going to die. It's not that. But it sounds like that, the way it's portrayed in the media and the way politicians talk about it. I wish they would make clearer that's all this is. It's about managing our resources. And then maybe I could buy a bag of pasta.
I know, but then everybody would be like they have been with smoking for the last 50 years. Everybody would just be like, oh, well, that's fine. It's not going to affect me. I'll just carry on doing this.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah.
It wouldn't really work. Anyway, shall we go and get on with the rest of our day?
Let's do that.
Let's do that indeed. I've got lots of nice things to do. I've got Amy at home with me. You know, all the normal stuff still needs doing. So I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Oh, yes, you are, because we're recording again, aren't we?
Yeah, so we've got a kind of normal episode coming up next week. So we just kind of really wanted to drop by and say hello. Hello, hello, hello. So even though we can't see you and you can't see us, we hope you've enjoyed listening. Maybe you've been listening while you have been cleaning out the kitchen drawer or doing painting.
Yeah. Sorry, I was supposed to say something then and I had nothing to say. I just went blank.
Maybe we should just do a podcast where we just get on and giggle.
And when you said kitchen drawer, I suddenly pictured mine and thought, ooh, I don't even know if I can face that. Just going to leave it for now.
Maybe that's what we need. We need the, okay, all right, here we go then. We need the art juice, hashtag art juice kitchen drawer challenge.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, when you do it.
Do they have to post before and after, or do they just have to post before?
Oh, definitely a before and after.
Okay.
Because the satisfaction comes from the after.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you again next time. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.